Welcome back into Fesco and Dusty. It's a Victory Monday. It's 9 o'clock, so get used to this, because every Monday at 9 o'clock, we'll be joined by Chiefs contributor of SI.com, Joshua Briscoe, will join us. Josh, how are you on this gloomy, kind of chilly, good autumn day here on a Monday?
I'm fantastic, but I didn't have to start doing radio at 6 a.m. after a primetime game. And there is something that you guys must be able to tap into that I am I respect it a great deal, having put in many late hours and early hours in this turnaround. How are you doing?
I'm great, because victories help. That's like a
lose and you come in, it sucks.
You lose, it's a little gloomy, but you know, I'm twisted and sick in the head, and you know, I don't know what it is, but I have no issue getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning and coming in here, because I even get up on the weekends now at like 6:30. I'm like, I overslept, so I'm completely gone. I'm completely out of this whole world. So
good,
but no, we're good. We're good. We're doing fine. Everything's great. Welcome to this show. We'll do this every Monday. Boy, Sam Jackson really got everybody hard, I guess, before the game last night, didn't he?
Boy, did he?
Whoa, hello.
Yeah. Where did that come from?
In the morning.
Yeah, no doubt. No, but speaking of, a guy for the first 2 weeks that I thought got a lot of flack, you know, maybe well-deserved. Boy, did Nick Bolton show up in Atlanta last night.
Yeah, and I think you could hold all these narratives in your head relatively easily, right? Where you could watch what happens in the first 2 weeks, and you can go, oh boy, Nick Bolton is a straight-up liability in comfort to these moments. Also coming off of an entire preseason process he had missed, hurt so early in camp. You could see the rust, a questionable decision to have him play as much as he did in those first two games. That picture came together relatively clearly. Last night in Atlanta, you saw Nick Bolton do the things that he does really well and that he's always done really well. At the end of the game, you get a great push from Chiefs legends like Mike Pinnell and Leo Chanel, Mike Dana caving in an edge. You see in a moment like that, when the seas part for Nick Bolton, if he gets his hands on you, even I, as a person who has many times over asked, how much did you want to pay Nick Bolton exactly? He gets his hands on a Drake London, a Bijan Robinson. You expect him to get the job done there, and he did that last night. Well, so I do think that the flag was deserved, but last night was a great game.
Yeah, he really came out of it, too. It's funny when the noise starts chirping and everybody starts questioning, guys raise their level of play, but I don't think it was like that with Nick Bolton. I think he was finally healthy last night, and boy, showed us what we've expected out of Nick Bolton and why he's been such a valuable contributor to this defense. Against the run, against Bijan Robinson, he was freaking phenomenal.
Yeah, and again, that's the stuff that he does well, that he's put in a position to be excellent in that role. You get Nick Bolton backpedaling or having to find his space in the zone and figure out how to either get in the way of a pass or actually haul one, and that's not his strength, and that's okay. He's not a perfect player. There are very, 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 very few perfect players in the history of the NFL. What you saw last night was Bolton healthier, in a good headspace, in a position to succeed, absolutely owning those moments. I am more than happy to give him credit for all of that, because you're right. In those big moments, if there's anything he's elite at, it's hands on you, you're going to the ground. And we saw that multiple occasions, of course, in the biggest moment last night as well. Huge credit to him.
It wasn't just him, though. This whole defense, man, like the bend but don't break philosophy is there. Yeah. They bent a lot. They never broke. They got to the quarterback. Best time of the year for them, you know, getting to the quarterback last night. Like defensively as a whole, they are kind of back to where they were for most of last season.
Yeah, and I don't know where you guys landed on the Chris Jones roughing call. I'm willing to split up my blame a little bit of, like, Chris Jones should probably know a little better. The ref should probably maybe stick to their guns a little better. And the NFL ruined all this for everybody, so I'm not really heated about that call. But I mention it because that turned an upcoming punt into an ongoing touchdown drive for the Falcons. You add in the pick that basically gives the Chiefs 3 points back in field goal range. It is a really good performance from the defense that, while you do end up with kind of these strange moments and the stuffy offense, I think we were in danger of not giving the defense enough credit for what they did last night. And you see Bijan Robinson averaging less than 2 yards a carry, while you do have those guys stepping up. You do have Kirk Cousins surviving in the pocket, but none of those killer strikes that can pick you apart on third and long or whatever it may be. Ultimately, you're absolutely right. I think this was a really nice day for a defense that's still learning a few things about itself, still proving a few things about itself. But by and large, I think you've got to feel optimistic.
Speaking of optimistic, it's 3 weeks. I mean, I don't want to use the term washed. I refuse to use that. But Travis Kelce, Is it now time to start maybe turning the panic meter on, or is this, again, way too early to tell and it's just using what you need to use to get by?
I'm also probably going to be one of the last guys off this particular train, because if you would have jumped at any point in the last 5 or 6 years, you'd feel incredibly foolish. I think what we're seeing is a pretty clear baton handoff that Rashee Rice is going to be the primary option. And then Mahomes, after the game last night, he talked about how Travis Kelce's got two or three guys on him throughout much of the game. I can't say that I saw a ton of triple covered Travis Kelce. I do think there's also a little bit of something to what is his role going to look like down the stretch in once the weather fully turns. Certainly playoff Travis Kelce has become a historic thing. He's also played a ton of snaps. So it's not like the Chiefs are just refusing to put him out there, or that he can't get his blocks anymore. He just hasn't gotten a lot of the targets. I think he's gotten a good portion of the attention. I'm not sure if what Mahomes said last night is 100% factual. I'm very aware of what's going on through these first 3 weeks for Kelce. I think I would need to be closer to the midseason mark to be entertaining any sort of washed conversation. I don't think we're there. But it is odd, and it's not great for an offense that has had a really hard time finding easy answers this year. Travis Kelce's usually an easy answer, and there have not been easy answers running through 87 through the first 3 weeks. I'm not panicking, but I'm definitely noting it.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you, Josh Briscoe, editor of Chiefs on SI.com and our Chiefs contributor here on 96.5 The Fan. I look at the Travis Kelce situation and say, look, I would be upset, I'd be losing sleep if somebody wasn't picking up the ball and running with it, and Rashee Rice is taken over. I mean, this is why the Chiefs are on top all the time, because they find a way to go out there and fill in the gap before the gap is there that we can recognize. And they've known for a while they're going to have somebody need to replace him, and they've got that guy in Rashee Rice. So he's picking up the slack and then some.
Yes, again, I mentioned what's easy in this offense, what feels automatic. Rashee Rice is the answer to that. Another thing that I don't know how much you guys have talked about the last few weeks as the fates turn for the worse. This offense was supposed to have a totally different gear with Hollywood Brown that was eliminated one play into the preseason, and then ultimately we get the worst news for the rest of his regular season fate, and maybe we'll see him in the playoffs. But that's another thing where, and to your point about the Chiefs seeing where they need to have some redundancies and seeing where maybe the weapons do get a little thin and how they're going to adjust from that, Hollywood was a real investment, a one-year investment, but a real investment in this campaign in trying to keep this offense nice and lubricated, for lack of a better word. The cog's moving here, Dusty. Nothing like you said earlier about Samuel Jackson. But I'm gonna say that this is a group that should have had one more real weapon in place of Justin Watson getting a lot of those reps now. Rashee Rice, obviously enormous. Again, you want to talk about good luck and bad luck. I really thought for a good chunk of the offseason we weren't going to see Rashee Rice until midseason 2024, and things worked out okay in that regard. But an incredible start to the year for Rashee. Just, you'd like to see a second option be that level of consistent, and I still think there's a pretty good chance it ends up being Kelce down the stretch.
What do you look for this week when you go play a beat-up Chargers team that's missing, what, left tackle, right tackle, quarterback, wide receiver? It looks like it's another week of excuses for why the Chiefs are now going to be 4-0.
Yeah, is that all? I mean, the Chargers at this point, man, I didn't think that they were going to be terribly frisky this season, but I'm kind of buying the long-term Harbaugh-Herbert view. And right now, I mean, I guess maybe you said just like Harbaugh and J.K. Dobbins might just go ahead and put up an 18-13 win over the Chiefs in this game. I'm certainly not expecting it. It is a beaten-up team that has impressed me in ways so far, but I think this is largely going to be the fate of this Falcons game we're talking about. I think we're going to forget this Falcons game in a month or two. It's going to just sort of fade into the fuzz of, what was week three? Oh, God, yeah, they were in Atlanta against Kirk Cousins. I think you could see something similar happen as long as they handle their business against the Chargers. You can't fumble one of those games and then have it fade into the background, but you handle your business in Atlanta and then go to L.A. and take on a absolutely dilapidated Chargers team. That's got to be a win. It doesn't have to be pretty, and it seems like at this point the Chargers are playing so shorthanded that it absolutely has to be.
Which means this is the week Travis Kelce goes off, because he always seems to do that against the Chargers. So I guess go to the betting sites. I don't know. I'm done betting on him. But
we thought that going into this game that he was going to take off. So maybe it is the big lights of LA, right?
I mean, listen, if there's anything we've learned about Travis Kelce, he loves the lights. He loves LA. And he specifically does love punking the Los Angeles Chargers. He's loved punking them since they were the San Diego Chargers. But there's something to that. Although I will not give out any betting advice on Travis Kelce. Kelsey's line should be at this point, because I am just as concerned, at least just as confused as you guys. I will not put a dime on that prediction, but I do like it. I like it morally speaking.
There we go. All right, well, we'll talk to you next Monday. Thanks for being a part of the show, and welcome to 96.5 The Fan. I know that you've been doing your rounds and all that, so we look forward to next Monday having a 4-0 conversation, getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Listen, as long as I don't have to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, I'm very happy to talk to you guys every week about this time.
We'll move our new segment to 4 a.m. with you, Josh. We'll tape it and let you go back to sleep. Just for so you guys, can feel I'll how it is.
It. I'll consider it just for you.
Thank you, my friend.
Take care. Have a good rest of your day. Yes.
Listen to these two stats I just saw. This one comes from Matt McMullen of the Chiefs. Okay, mm-hmm. Do you realize KC, the defense, has held opponents to 28 or fewer points for 24 straight games now?
24
straight games they have held the opponent to 28 or fewer points. Let's listen to Samuel L. Jackson. Yeah. And then in this 9-0 stretch that the Chiefs are on right now, they've won 9 straight, by the way, just for those scoring at home, right?
Yeah.
They've outscored
but they've only played 3 games.
Yeah, that's right. But they've outscored their opponent by 54 combined points over these 9 straight games, which is the smallest of any team in a 9-0 stretch in NFL history. Wow. Now, I don't know how many 9-0 stretches there are in NFL history. I'm sure more than we probably know. Probably a good amount. The Chiefs went 9-0 in 2003, right? So, there are teams that go 9-0, but the 54 combined points is the smallest margin of any team in NFL history over a 9-0 stretch. And so, look, they're just playing great football on defense right now. And as we get confused and worried about the offense, we're missing again what's going on defensively with this team.